whistle while you work. Put on that grin and start right in to whistle loud and long. Just hum a merry tune. Come on, get smart, tune up and start to whistle while you work.
Welcome to Company Break, a program dedicated to the companies and organizations in our local area, giving them a chance to talk about what services they can provide for you, our WCRI listeners. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Company Break. I'm Mike Mano, and very happy to be welcoming into our beautiful studios here in downtown Exeter, Rhode Island, representatives of the Weekapog Inn. And the Weekapog Inn is being represented today by the innkeeper, the one and only, the talented, the charming, the good-looking. Simon is here. Simon Pierce-Dewar, thank you for being here, Simon.
Thank you.
Nice to see you.
You too.
And you brought along a special guest that is probably the most important person at the inn, right?
Yes, we've got our executive chef here, Devin Boskyer.
And Devin, welcome to you. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you very much. Very happy to be here.
Let's find out a little bit about each of you personally before we get to the inn itself. Devin, where are you? Where did you grow up? What part of the world?
What part of the world? Definitely a matter of time. I grew up in Turkey.
Okay.
But initially I was born in Germany, in Berlin. And I grew up in Turkey till I was 11 years old with my grandparents and family over there. Mm-hmm. And moved over to the States at the age of 14.
Oh, so you've been here a while.
Yes. Okay. Into.
I mean, you're 20 now, so it's 6
years. Right. Yeah. But yeah, I moved to the States at the age of 14. I grew up in Nashville, Tennessee for about 5 years there, and then finished off high school in Alaska as parents just decided to want to move. They said, we love cold. From there, I moved on to Seattle, Washington, been in New York, Virginia, D.C., back to New York, now found a new home here in Rhode Island.
Wow, that's quite a background, and none of that was military reasons, not really?
I would say the only military reason was being born in Berlin. At that time, my father was in the military and was stationed out there as a tank driver.
All right, well, and when did you get involved with food?
First, aside from eating, growing up with my grandmother in Turkey, it was very traditional, all home cooking, scratch home cooking. So it really started out with a love for food. And as I've said before, it was a different childhood for me. So whenever I had my box lunches, it was stewed lentils and lamb leg, et cetera, you know, not mac and cheese or peanut butter jelly sandwiches, which I didn't see until I came here. So definitely had a mature palate growing up with my grandmother at that time. When I moved to the States, there's this interesting class called home economics I had no idea about what it was or electives. So when we're signing up for classes and not understanding the school system, I just got thrown into it. So I showed up in class and first day not knowing what it was going to be, and we learned how to make biscuits from scratch. Now, when maybe most kids, when they come home, if they got an A or made the jump shot or learned something new in math class, I was the most excited when I got home and I could make biscuits from scratch. So at the age of 11, it really started at home, making baking cookies and biscuits. Every Sunday turned into making a different type of biscuit and getting creative with it, which then in my early teen years, actually started cooking home dinners. Family cooking at home was really big. Dinner was always with the family. And then when high school came and it was time to get that job, at the age of 16, my first job was being a cook and dishwasher prep cook all in once in Anchorage, Alaska, with a company, Red Robin.
Yum.
And
Simon
from then on,
looking at me like, what is that? Yum. What does that mean?
Right. And after that job, at the age of 16, I actually only had two other jobs where it was non-restaurant, but they were also at the same time to make extra money while I was working as a cook. So about my 22nd year now in working in kitchens, and really don't see myself doing anything else.
Wow, that's an amazing background. Thank you for that information. Simon, let's touch base with you. You do have a military background.
Yeah,
and
I
did not grow up in the United States.
No, I didn't. I grew up in England. Joined the army when I left school. Worked for British Army for 17 years for Queen's Lancashire Regiment. Traveling the world, living all over the world, which was great. retired and moved over to the States, and that's when I entered the hotel world.
Now, we should explain to people, a lot of people think retired as an old, gray, feeble man here. That's not the case at all. You retired after, what, 10 years or something?
17, yeah.
So, after 17 years?
You've been very kind, so thank you.
So, I mean, you're a young, healthy, good-looking
there
guy. And you know, I say that because I might get a free lunch out of it. But
absolutely.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the inn. You've been at the inn for how long?
Just coming up to 3 years, actually.
3 years. Yeah. And you, before that, were an innkeeper also?
Yes, at another Relais & Chateau property in Lenox, Massachusetts, called Blantyre.
Okay. And now the Weekapaug Inn, for those that don't know, is located right down on the water in Westerly. What's the name of the pond or the...
Yeah, we sit on the Quonicatog Pond, so we're sort of a stone's throw away from the Atlantic Ocean. And then we have this lovely saltwater pond, really a lagoon. It is open to the ocean at one end through a breachway. Beautiful, beautiful, tranquil spot. Sweeping views across our lawn and our deck. Our dining room overlooks the pond and the gardens as well. So it's a really special part of Rhode Island that a lot of people don't know about, even here in Westerly, because as you come into Weekapaug, it feels a bit as though you're coming into a residential area, and if you can just stay on the road a little bit longer,
right,
you'll come round the corner and you'll see the beautiful inn, and it's a great spot to come and have a drink or a bite to eat or come and stay with us.
It's a beautiful facility, and it's also very, if you're into nature, what a great spot. I mean, it's right there, as you say, right on the pond, and it's got nature walks that are provided by the inn, right?
Yes, we have a resident naturalist, Mark Bullinger. Mark has been involved with conservation a lot within Rhode Island. He was part of the Salt Ponds Coalition before he came to the inn as the resident naturalist, and he really tries to connect our guests back with the outstanding natural beauty and the nature during the months when we can have boats on the water, when it's not too cold. He takes trips out on the pond, but throughout the year he conducts walks with guests who are interested to go out and visit the wildlife that's out on our coastline. We have this time of year quite a lot of seal come into the pond, which can be quite exciting if you spot one on a walk. Or we have some fairly powerful telescopes, but there's always something. It's always something different every single day on the pond.
Well, see, I was thinking about bird watching, but you're talking about seal watching now.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting. And it is a great place if you are into birds and that kind of thing. There is all that to do. And the inn itself is just a wonderfully constructed, if you will, facility, and it's very easy and pleasant to get around in, and very well appointed, too. This is not your Motel 6 type of place.
No, not at all. It's got a long history within Weekapaug itself. There's been an inn operated called the Weekapaug Inn since 1899. The 38 hurricane, which a lot of listeners will know about if they're from Rhode Island, destroyed the inn that stood on the Atlantic side, right on the beach. And the family, the Buffums, who owned and operated it at the time, rebuilt within a year, and in 1939 reopened the inn in its current location. And so it has a real sense of place within the local community and within its location.
If people are interested in taking a look at this as they're listening to us and they want to go online, you have a beautiful website, right? Which is...
Yeah, weekapauginn.com. Just log on and you can scroll through the site. We've got some great views and pictures and graphics showing the rooms, but also everything else that we have going on at the property itself.
And just if you want to make sure you know, it's Weekapaug Inn, is weekapauginn.com. And if you go there, you can check out, find a picture of Simon, find a picture of Devin, all of that, along with a lot of other information about the inn and the hours of operation. You're open most of the time?
Yep, we're open throughout the year. The only restrictions we have is January through to the beginning of May. After breakfast on a Monday until lunchtime on a Wednesday, we just close the doors just so we can get some routine maintenance and bits and pieces done.
All right. So check out the hours and so forth if you're interested in going. Getting to be that busy time of year, and Chef Devin, holiday season, Thanksgiving being just a little over a week ago, now people are in that mood of like, okay, the diet set aside, I'm gonna treat myself, and they can certainly do that if they go and have some of the meals prepared by you. What's a typical week like for you in planning what's going to happen for that week? In other words, do you think about what's good at the time of year? Do you think about what's locally produced? How does all that come about?
Oh, absolutely. Planning out a week obviously comes from the schedule and looking ahead on reservations and events, everything that comes up. Planning a menu and ingredients, it starts with working with the local farmers. There's Max Hentz of Hillendale Farms right around the corner, about 10 minutes away, is probably the one that we work with closest. And at this day and age, now it's texting, even with the farmers.
Right, right.
And just communicating about what they have, what's coming up. The beauty that I love about being here and being so close to the source of the food here in Rhode Island and with the farmers is the customization. I can ask, okay, I want radishes that are only going to be 1 inch long. And being able to work with the farmers who can do that for you, as opposed to the larger purveyors that you're just going to send you
know, general,
and who knows from where. If it's going to come from California or anywhere, other part of the country. For us, in the kitchen, in the cuisine, the ingredients, it's very important that we focus on local product and local ingredients.
So the ingredients that you have, for the most part, even to the seafood, I'm sure, is relatively local almost all the time, right?
Oh, all the time. As Simon was mentioning earlier with the salt pond, that the restaurant and the garden that looks over into, when you come in, you'll see at the season, several locals and fishermen just knee deep, even though they're about 50 feet into the pond, just clamming. Mm-hmm. And so it's a big local clamming spot. And we do have licensed commercial fishermen and harvesters who do harvest clams out of that pond and will sell to the purveyors, who in turn then I can purchase from. And those are just the regulations of, you know, health department buying shellfish, just to go around it. But yeah, even clams can come right out of our backyard. We have our local oyster farmers. The Wachill oysters are literally 5 minutes from the property. So I can drive up there, walk up, meet with one of the guys, pull up the cages, look for oysters right there, right out of the water. It's a great community for food and hospitality out here, and it's great.
I think a lot of people might misunderstand what a chef does. So a chef, you normally think of, he's going to be in the kitchen, he's going to have the hat on, he's going to be yelling at everybody. But there's a lot more to it, right?
Well, you pretty much, we got everything, mainly the yelling at everybody. No, you know, for a chef, I think there's, I even tell some of the younger cooks, I think that's just, you own that to yourself as a mentality for being a chef, which is pushing yourself, taking pride and ownership in something that you're going to create. So for a day-to-day, yes, we're in the kitchen. We have to cook. We have to teach. It's such a dynamic and revolving business. You have young cooks who are wanting to learn and develop their crafts. And then we have all the guests coming in and meeting their expectations, making sure that they feel like they're the center of attention and when they're coming out to relax. So we're teaching them how to cook, and then there's meetings, and there's all the Simon's demands to make sure we get all the all our reports. When you become a chef, it becomes administrative and cooking, and it's a big mix. Making sure orders come in, quality checking.
Simon, when someone drives up to the portico that you have in front of the inn, they're usually greeted by someone, and then inside there's someone at the desk to take care of their room reservation or their dinner reservation, all of those things. How many people roughly are involved with the inn overall? Is it five or six?
We're probably at 50 at this time of year.
50.
When we include also we have a banquet team, so when there's holiday parties taking place, we'll bring some extra staff in to help with that. We really are about true, honest hospitality. We really want people to feel welcome, feel like it's their home away from home when they come and stay with us, or even just come and dine with us. So it's really important that we make that welcome special. So we have bellmen on the front driveway. They're all really, really friendly. They're all about welcoming the guests to the inn. As you come into the inn, it's peculiar because our front desk is actually one floor up.
Right.
So on the ground floor is probably the hub of the hotel, the bar, which we call our garden room. We're very lucky because we're in a historic property. We have real wood fireplaces in all the public areas. So as you come in at this time of year, you can smell the wood burning.
Mm-hmm.
The food and beverage team, whether it be the dining room team or the bar staff, are there to welcome the guests. We've got a great range of wines and a good focus on beers with the local breweries that we have in this area. It's a really special place to come dine in the dining room, or to just come into the bar and eat at the bar. And we love it when the bar is full and it's got a buzz.
Tavern dining, type of drink, effect.
It has a real. Yeah. It really, for me, coming from over the pond, it really reminds me of great British pubs, which are always the centre of any English village, and it's something that I found has made me feel very at home. Here in Rhode Island.
Excellent. All right. Well, we're going to find out more about the pub and the restaurant and the rooms themselves, but we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with more about the Weekapog Inn. We are back on Company Break. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Simon and Devin and talking about the Weekapog Inn in beautiful West... It's in Westerly.
It is part of Westerly.
Westerly. Yeah. I always get a little bit confused because it's kind of on the border there of...
Yeah, and I think if you own a house in Weekapog, you'd always describe yourself as living in Weekapog as opposed to Westerly.
Yeah, that's other people.
Postcode, we are definitely right. Still part of Westerly.
All right. Well, we talked quite a bit in the first part about the inn itself and the restaurant and where the food comes from and the inspiration. So if I was to say, well, let me take some of my people here from WCRI and have a little holiday party. Is that something we could do, that we could call you up and say, give us a little space? And
oh, yeah.
How does absolutely. That work?
No, absolutely. Especially for the holidays, we have a special package, several different prices. Definitely please go online and contact any of our agents. But over six, for however many you want to bring, we create a family style and for this time of year holiday themed menu.
Really, family style. So, in other words, if there's eight of us, we just sit down.
Yep,
and
everybody sits down. There will be selections. We'll have the menus and the different items that are available to you as you speak with our agents and talk to you about the menu. Some items can be ordered ahead of time, or you can choose when you get in. And family style meaning you'll sit down, enjoy, relax, just like as if you were at home, but you just don't have to clean up or do the dishes. Mm-hmm. We pass the platters and the dishes around, serve casually, comfortably, nothing uptight, just there to enjoy the company that you're here with and the time of year. And the food, of course.
Sounds like a great idea for the holidays if you just want to have something a little special, a little step up from probably your average fare that you're having at home. That's a great way to do it. And what about bigger parties, corporate events, that kind of thing? Is that available also?
Absolutely. We do have a medium size, I guess we would say, space where we can fit about 40 to 50.
Oh, good size. All right, yeah.
Chairs for any kind of conferences, et cetera. But we do corporate retreats and all the meal periods if they're staying in the rooms, catering for their breakfast, lunch, dinner. And the environment and the property that we're in just creates a really relaxing and just the necessary place to be able to have your conferences, meetings, whatever you want to come out for, just to relax and treat your staff and your employees.
Well, I've been there several times. It is certainly beautiful, and I think one of the interesting things, as you mentioned, Simon, as you come into that pub area, if you will, and that gives you like a different feel as you go from floor to floor, from room to room. It's certainly not a box type of building where you just come in and sit down.
No, absolutely. When the inn was renovated, they were very conscious of making sure that they kept the soul of the property. And so a lot of the furniture comes from the original inn. Things were made perhaps a bit better back in those days. And so downstairs we have this wonderful bar area, but there's also a great area upstairs near the lobby that we call the C Room. Actually has the original floor from the inn that stood on the Atlantic. That was one of the things they saved from the 38 hurricane. And that's a great spot for sitting down with a good book, maybe a nice glass of wine, and just relaxing and unwinding, breaking away from technology. Throughout the year also, although it gets colder at this time of year, we do have a fire pit outside. So in the evenings, we have that lit. A lot of guests choose after dinner to head out there and have some s'mores, or if they're families with young kids, always good to get a sugar rush before bedtime.
and there's a beautiful deck there too, as I recall.
And we have a beautiful deck. The deck, right. Deck gets a little bit chilly at this time of year, but where it is. But summertime, it's fabulous. With you've got views from the deck. You can see right away over to Block Island. Mm-hmm. You can see the shipping going past, the fishermen going past. It's a really, really beautiful vista across the lawn itself.
And you did mention, and I noticed when I was there, telescopes that you can zoom in on the wildlife or
We keep a spotting scope in the lobby year round, which allows you to they're almost trained now, or it looks like they're trained. There's a family of seal that down at the towards the middle of the pond, they come and sun themselves on a line of rocks that are just into the pond itself. So
now they're not trained well enough to have a ball bouncing on their nose.
They are so good. Every morning they are there, so we will point guests in that direction. We'll say, just go and have a look. There may well be some seals down there, and pretty much every time on the money they've been there down on.
Calls from the Seal Association saying I was making fun of the seals, so I didn't mean that to be derogatory.
Right.
Not absolutely. Every seal can bounce a ball. I understand that. So got to be politically correct.
Absolutely.
All right. So the whole experience, if you will, a great word you used during our commercial break. Of what happens at the Weekapaug Inn. It's just it's an experience. It's an opportunity for you to get away and be a little bit different for most of us anyway. Most of us are not used to living in that style every day of our lives, and so that's a nice thing. And great for the holidays.
It really is, and it's we often when we think of the luxury end, which the inn is, we're part of Relais and Chateau, which is a French organisation. It's an association. It's not a chain. It's about the experience of cuisine, the experience of true hospitality, and the stay that guests are having. And we really try to create those experiences with our guests, be it our guests from the local community coming in for dinner, for lunch, or guests coming in for a stay with us. You can go and stay at numerous hotels around the world. There are some fabulous chains that you can go and stay at, but we really want to connect you to the local area and create those perhaps family memories and experiences that nowadays we get a little caught up. We quite often see it. My family is exactly the same as others, but we will see guests on arrival with mum, dad, couple of children, and no one's talking to one another. Everyone's got their head down. They've got a device of some description, be it an iPad or a telephone in their hand, and they are texting or tweeting or scrolling through the news. And by the end of their stay, after two nights or three nights, it's really interesting to see that often we don't see the phones. People are holding a conversation again with one another.
Amazing
stuff. And that's the really important stuff, because I can go and stay at a hotel and it can be fabulous. It can have the the best quality linens and sheets and beautiful beds. It can be well appointed. It can have great televisions. It can have great food. But if it doesn't have that sense of place, if it doesn't have that true feeling of hospitality, it will be a very nice stay and I'll go away.
Right. I mean, I just experienced that in New York City. I had a beautiful hotel room, beautiful everything, but I never spoke to one person.
Right. And that's really, really, really important for us, is that we do connect to our guests. We find out about them. We find out what they like. We try and tailor their stay or their dinner or their lunch or their time at the bar with us to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all like to be made to feel special.
Yeah, excellent. And let's get back to the restaurant part of it. And we're talking about those small parties and so forth. I don't want to give the impression that, we're talking about luxury. We're talking about an experience. Mm-hmm. But this is still affordable from a restaurant standpoint. You're not talking about spending $1,000 a night to eat.
No, absolutely not.
it's something that can be customized, right?
It can be customized. And just, again, providing the experience on the hotel side of things, in the kitchen and the restaurant, we just as well aim to do the same. So not only from being able to provide and meet specific requests, mm-hmm. be it dietary restrictions or the allergies that are arising so rapidly these days, also to your own preferences. So during this whole process, if a guest comes in and we prepared their steak and they sent it back saying it was too salty, we'll be happy to prepare it again. But then be assured that in your notes with the computer programs and the technology we have, we write down that, okay, we'd like this to be a little bit less salty for our guests. So next time they come in, those notes will be popped up and we can cater to that. And we'll keep those notes so that every time you come back, we will cater to your specific likes and pleasures. So, but as far as our cuisine, during this year that I was here, I'd like to play off of the nature and the naturalist theme that we have. And that's to apply that to the food and the cuisine that we're preparing. So keep it natural. We're not a very molecular or chemical heavy cuisine or menu. Like I said earlier, we work with the local farmers to get the freshest ingredients right off the back of their trucks, which also allows us to keep the costs low as well in turnaround. And with a casual dining in the sense of not, it's just going to be steak and potatoes, but food that you're going to recognize, that you're going to know. As I talk to some other young cooks, they'll say, well, there's two types of great cuisine. Some people will get a plate, such as if you're in New York, and say, wow, this looks so beautiful. I don't want to touch it. I don't want to mess it up. And for me, there's another one where when a plate comes in front of you and you say, wow, that looks so good. I can't wait to dive in. Our philosophy goes into the latter. Beautiful colors of vegetables, the perfect done cooking of the meats, crispy skin chicken with the truffles and mushrooms stuffed underneath, all over the local vegetables and grains and handmade pastas that we make. It's something you're going to recognize and you're going to enjoy and feel full, because one thing we definitely don't want is for you to have several courses and plates and then you're still hungry.
I'm reminded of a Steve Martin movie called L.A. I don't know if anyone's ever seen it, but it was a few years back. But he's sitting in a restaurant like you described, and they put the plate in front of him, and it's this little, it's like one each inch piece of food, and he looks down and says, oh, I guess I'm done. I mean, it was very pretty,
right?
But, you know.
No, and again, going back to experience, we all, when we want to get away, vacation, or entertain ourselves, are looking for a specific experience, and we are catering to those, as Simon's saying, looking for a sense of place. So when you come to the Weekapaug Inn, you know you're in Rhode Island. You know you're in Weekapaug and Westerly, and you're by the water, from the seafood cuisine to the handmade pastas, little Italian culture that gets folded into our food as well. As we were saying, I mean, you could go to a hotel in New York, and once you're inside the hotel, you could be in New York, France, California. You may not know, but given that sense of place through the food and the experience and hospitality is something we've really excelled at.
Excellent. Well, I certainly recommend that everyone should take it in. It's a wonderful experience. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. And if you go to their website, weekapauginn.com, you can check out a lot of the pictures of the building and, again, more information about Simon and Devin. And if you want to call, you can do that by calling area code 855-679-2995 is one of the numbers that you can call to get information. Simon will answer the phone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Absolutely.
Or someone will.
Someone will, and they can get in touch with me.
Simon, I want to thank you and Devin for coming in today and bringing us all this information about the inn. It's been great. And things happen at other times of the year, too. I want to talk about that briefly. We've talked about the holiday season and the small parties, the corporate parties, and the opportunity to stay over. But things are coming up soon. It's going to be after the first year. Things will start rolling again, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So we'll come into the new year. You know, it gets cold at this time of year, and into new year, but we're really lucky we've got a generator at the inn, so we stay open regardless of what happens with the weather. And you know, on those days when the snow starts falling, having those real fireplaces can make a real difference to heading out. So even on those chilly nights, jump in the car, come down and see us
it warms you up to get pampered, and look forward to in the summer times we do our Thursday clam bakes in the summer after
clam bakes, something to look forward to.
Every all week right. on Thursdays, and many ideas we're coming up with. Again, in the wintertime, as things die down and it's slow in town, we want to come up with a lot of activities for our locals. So look for things like perhaps Sunday supper clubs, pasta, special pasta menu nights, pairing, special dinners. Just go on our website. We could plug in events.com as well.
Excellent.
And look for any special events happening.
Well, it sounds like I should move from Providence down to Westerly so I can be there more often. It's a wonderful spot, and can't recommend it enough. And I want to thank you both again. Simon, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
And Devin, nice to meet you, and look forward to seeing you soon. We'll see you all next time on Company Break.